BYU linebacker Isaiah Glasker, fresh off a huge game against Arizona, received some nice national recognition. He discusses how he found out and previews the Oklahoma State game.
College football insider Brett McMurphy tells us why he's buying BYU as a college football playoff team and what he expects in Friday's game as an Oklahoma State alum. And the Cougar defense is off to a hot start. What are the top five defensive plays from the BYU season thus far?
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Wednesday, October 16th, I am Spencer Linton alongside Brigham Young University historian Jerem Jordan.
I wish, although I have worn the white gloves in special collections before, which is kind of fun. Today is the 149th year, the anniversary, the birthday of, if you will, of Brigham Young University.
How about that?
1875 on October 16th, the Brigham Young Academy, right, founded and... there was a high school attached to it as well, which was awesome. So happy birthday to BYU. 150 next year?
Yeah.
That's going to be a big deal, dog.
150 years. I'm trying to remember. Is it the sesquicentennial? Is that the
word for
150
I think so.
Years?
Yeah, I don't know all those words, but yeah.
The sesquicentennial celebration for BYU happens next year.
That'll be awesome. Get your Carl G. Mazur outfits ready. It's good. We'll draw a circle and we won't leave it.
What is a Carl G. Mazur outfit?
I don't know.
There's
a statue of him outside the Mazur building.
Yes.
Which I loved. That was my favorite building on campus because there was a two-tiered lecture hall. So you could sit up top and be eye level, but you'd look down at the teacher from up there and then just hope they wouldn't see you if you were just like... on your computer or whatever. A lot of fun. That's cool. 150 next year.
Happy
birthday to Brigham Young University.
Get your
a place that we absolutely love.
Mazur starter pack.
What's the Mazur starter pack, dude?
While you think about that brain buster, all rise and shout. It's time for what's trending. 6-0 BYU.
Yeah, throws under duress and it is intercepted.
The national media is starting to buy the Cougars as a real contender.
10, 5, and touchdown!
What's trending presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. We are exactly halfway through BYU's regular season, 6 games in, 6 wins for BYU, and it's just the 6th time in program history that BYU has done that, so some significance around the number 6. Cougars are ranked 13 in the latest AP poll. Let's look closer at some of the most prominent stats on this run to where BYU is and discuss what BYU might actually be pacing to hit by the time we have finished 12 games. So that's a natural place to start, Jerem. BYU is, technically speaking, pacing for a 12-0 record.
Well,
unbeaten.
Well. Give me the goggles.
You're taking the over or under on that? I think I know the answer.
I'm taking the under. ESPN win percentage is 2.5% to win out. It would be awesome if BYU won out. Don't get me wrong. When BYU did it in 1984, it was amazing. It was a miracle. You had to have Comrell jumping over the line at the last second at Hawaii to save a season. And you had to have all these awesome things. You played a schedule that honestly wasn't the toughest. This is a tougher schedule. You're in a Power 4 conference. Come on now. I know that some of these teams aren't as good as we thought, but this ain't playing the old whack in 1984. This is Power 4 football. BYU's got to win some significant games to get to 12-0. With that said, it doesn't mean they can't do it. Like, I could see a scenario where if BYU continues to take away the ball like they do and score off those turnovers and be efficient and they take care of the ball on offense, why not? But, 12-0 is awesome. That would be great. It's hard for a lot of teams to go 12-0, let alone BYU. They're not special to that. I would take 10-2 probably at this point. I want 11-1 realistically. 12-0 feels like a dream, but hey, we're 6-0. Let's keep dreaming.
Yes, 12-0 certainly is an unbelievable dream. Frankly, it's been a dream for BYU to get to 6-0 based on what the expectations were. Now, for that dream to continue, as you stated, you just need luck and you need some magic to happen. There have been some of those moments. The SMU game provided a few of them.
Yes.
The fact that BYU turned it over in terrible situations on multiple occasions against that SMU offense and found a way to keep the Mustangs out of the end zone with big plays. Braden Kime makes a tackle at the 3-yard line after an interception. Turns out to be one of the hugest plays of the game. He's just hustling back to try and prevent a pick six. And then the 4th down conversion to Miles Davis. Crew Wakely's pick against Baylor after BYU seemingly was running out of gas in Waco. defense coming up big again. There have been some of those moments, but how sustainable is that? That is tough.
Feels low, right? But, hey, again, let's keep dreaming.
How many more tricks do you have in the bag of tricks? I'm going to go under because of probabilities and just how difficult it is to do it.
Would love to be wrong on that one.
For sure. Please bookmark this.
Yes.
I hope we're both wrong and BYU is 12-0, but we're going to take the under because of probabilities and just how fickle the game of football can be.
Next one, BYU defense has 14 takeaways, so pacing for 28, over under that.
They are going to face multiple backup quarterbacks in the next three games, and the schedule seemingly lightens in the back half. I'm still going to lean under here, but I don't think they're going to be that far off. I might go 26 takeaways, which is still an incredible number. That's an average of more than two per game. I'm going to lean just a hair under that. It's been remarkable to this point.
I'm saying under as well. Give me 24. 28 would have led FBS last year, by the way. That's how many you'd have. 14 is tied for seventh in the country. 10 picks from nine different players is amazing. Jacob Robinson with two. So, yeah, give me under on that one. BYU's been incredible in that space. Hard to sustain that, but maybe they do, man. Maybe this keeps
going. They can average two a game over the back six and finish with 26.
That'd be amazing.
This team has already beaten the odds, so maybe we just need to throw some logic out
the window. We're just giving them new odds to beat.
Yes, yes. All right, how about this stat? The BYU offense is pacing to score 104 points off turnovers. It's at 52 right now. Are you taking the over under on that number?
Also under. I think it's real high, and it's awesome. The BYU is 52, only three allowed. 2021 was pretty good, right? They had 62 points off turnovers all year in 21. They already have 52 now. It's already more than 2022 and 2020. 104 would be second most in the Satake era to 2016's 108. And the plus 49 margin is awesome. That would also be second to 2016, which was plus 71. So what they're doing there is incredible over the Satake era, the ability to take it away and then score off those points. It is very congruent between the two, right? Of we take it away and you score. Let's go.
If you can average over 3.5 points per turnover, that is a very, very good number. BYU right now is about 3.7 or 3.8 points per turnover. So, yeah, it has been unbelievable in that regard. It's going to be tough to maintain that. Because I don't think there are as many takeaways, naturally, I'm not expecting as many points off turnovers. It's just difficult to do. Not saying they're not going to be opportunistic, which certainly they have been, but I'd probably center closer to like 90, maybe 92 points off turnovers. I think that they have the capability to do that, but
that'd
104?
Be four. Yeah, if they get 86, that'll be second most in Satake.
There you go.
They get 109.
They can
that'd
hit
be
90.
The most.
Yeah. They can hit 90 based on what they've already done.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, next one. Jake Retzlaff pacing to have a 3-1 touchdown interception ratio, roughly 14 touchdowns, right? Five picks. Will it be over or under 3-1 ratio?
I'm going to lean a hair over that. Because he has shown consistent progress after the early season turnovers. So he is trending that way, and it's not just one game or two games. It's multiple games now where he's showing real growth. And right now it's 15 touchdowns, five interceptions.
Yeah.
I think he can be better than that. So if he's, you know, 27 touchdowns and eight interceptions, that's a hair better than 3-1. Or maybe he's, you know, 29 touchdowns and nine picks, that too would beat the mark. So I think that's a fair number for Jake to have better than a 3-1 touchdown interception ratio.
So he's got 14 passing, one rushing. So his total TD is 15, which is a good number. Let's go. I think he's like real close to right on. In fact, I've got him right on. I have 27 touchdowns, nine picks. I think, like you said, he takes care of the ball. And I think he doesn't need to throw for a ton more than what he's done through the air in the end zone because the run game is getting better.
He's still your leading rusher.
L.J. Martin and Hinkley Rapati got healthy. We saw the difference they could make at 5.4 yards a pop against Arizona over the weekend. I don't think you're going to need the pass game in the way you needed it before when you're like, who's behind us? What freshman is that? Who delivered, by the way, and Enoch Nawahine and Sione Moa, Pukai Haunga in there as well, which is exciting. So, yeah, I think he'll maintain this. There could be a game where he throws a couple of picks and it's like, oh, is that old Jake? It's like, well, not if he continues to do that. I think he's grown a lot.
Sure, and it depends on how the ball is
right.
intercepted.
Is it tipped up and lucky? Like, that's not Jake's fault, per se. But if it's a bad throw and it goes, like...
Is there a Hail Mary at the end of the half when they're trying to score a touchdown that gets picked off?
Not all interceptions are created equal. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, I think he has a real chance to be just a hair over that.
Which is amazing, given the turnover issues last year.
Give me 28 passing touchdowns, 9 interceptions, and that hits the mark. Okay, next number. BYU currently pacing to have 0 1,000-yard rushers or receivers. Will BYU hit the over and at least get one guy into that category? You're leaning under there.
No, I don't see it happening. LJ Martin and Hinkley Ropati would be your best guys for that, but you don't have a single setback that you hand the ball to all the time. You're splitting carries quite a bit.
Those two have already missed 3 games.
There have been injuries there, like, no. And then receiver, they just don't target one dude enough. Chase Roberts, Darius Lassiter, if those were combined into one person, sure, that guy could get 1,000 yards. But, no, I don't see it. To me, it's fun to have that guy, but it's okay if you don't, because I would actually rather have quality and depth across the board, given injuries, given how hard Power 4 football is, right? You just get banged up or you get a great corner who's locking up a guy on one side of the field or whatever. I'd rather have what BYU has, which is like several A-minus to B-plus guys.
Balance.
Than just like one A guy and then a bunch of B-minus guys.
Yeah, I don't mind the balance at all. I think the real number here, I'm going under here. This is not a knock on anybody on the team, but it's just how the BYU offense is designed. They spread the wealth.
Yeah.
Like, how many guys will BYU have that go over 700 yards? Like, maybe one? Hopefully two?
Yeah, there's just too much diversity of targets and rushes.
Like, Chase Roberts, I think he'll hit over 700 yards receiving. He's got almost 400 right now through 6 games.
Yeah.
But BYU might be in a scenario where they don't have anybody in the receiver or running backs room that go over 800 yards
that's
on
all
the
right.
season, and that's okay.
Right. Yeah. Do you think Jake hits 3,000 passing, by the way? Is that 1,426? I think so.
The way that Aaron Roderick is now trending, yes.
Yeah.
I think that
he's on his way
for over 3,000.
He's on his way. If the run game's real good and then you don't need it and you create takeaways in short fields and he's less than 3,000 but you're winning, greater than any of these stats we're talking about, right? Okay, BYU currently pacing to rush for 4.2 yards per carry. Pacing, obviously, to
That's
keep
an
that.
Improvement.
Will they be over under that at the end of the season?
Man, I want them to be over this. I think they need to be over this if they're going to continue this great run. The running game needs to establish itself in a little bit better of a clip.
How high are you thinking?
Just 4. Just give me like 0.1, maybe 0.2 more. 4.3, 4.4 would be awesome after 12 games.
Yep.
They're capable of doing this. And the fact that BYU is going to play a porous Oklahoma State rush defense on Friday in a situation where it might be rainy and slippery and you need the run game to get going, that will help. Utah's rush defense is really good. So that maybe mitigates what the Cougars can do against Oklahoma State.
Wasn't that good last week.
But UCF, Kansas, Arizona State, there will be some opportunities there. Utah gashed them a little bit, even though the Utes lost to the Sun Devils last week. And then Houston. Because of how the schedule lies out, I think BYU's rush yards per carry will get a slight uptick. So I'm going over here.
I'm going over as well. Give me 4.5. What I'm more concerned about is success rate. Like, are you getting, 40% on first down of the available yards, 50%, and then are you converting on third down? BYU 102nd in rush offensive success rate, which isn't great. So I want BYU to be in the 60s or 70s in that number. 102 is a tough number. They are getting to fourth down, which brings us to our next one, 79% on fourth down. Will they be over under that number? Because that's pretty high.
Under.
that's high, man.
That's really tough to maintain. 4 out of every 5 times you're going for it on fourth down, you're converting. Incredible. Like, that's a credit to the fourth down play calls and design and execution.
Did you see the sign in the rock that said conversions the last year? And it was like LDS missionaries, whatever the number was, hundreds of thousands or 80,000 or whatever. And it was like Arizona, 30. Good one. Know your audience.
Oh, the signs are fantastic. Yeah, I'm going to go just a hair under. But I think BYU could be 3 out of every 4, 75%.
Yeah,
they can do that.
I'm with you. It's hard to maintain. Perhaps they do. They've been awesome on fourth down. There are times where they don't get it, like the opening drive.
Their fourth down success rate has been so good that the third down success rate hasn't mattered as much.
It's still not high enough. but it helps. 11 conversions, by the way, on fourth down. Third most in the country. That's pretty good.
They are aggressive. They go for it on fourth down a lot.
You're the 11th in the nation at 78%. Not at 79%. Not everyone goes for it as often, right?
Okay, so what about third down percentage, though? Like, third down conversions is 31%.
Yeah.
You going over there or under there?
It's got to be higher, dude. 31? No, got to be higher. Like, if BYU is going to go 10-2, 11-1.
40%.
I don't know.
Give me 40%.
Every equation and way that you got to 6-0 like this will maintain. Like, I just think there will be games that are different from what we've seen. We're going to see one where BYU is negative in margin. Did they win the game? Like, I don't believe that every single game this year they're going to be even or positive. That's just, like, wild. I'd have to look up and go back and, like, has that happened? You just have games where stuff happens. So can you win in a different way? I believe BYU can win in a different way. They haven't had to do it quite yet because they're so good taking the ball away.
Can they win when they're losing the turnover margin?
Yeah, can they be minus one and win? You certainly can. Like, what if you don't need takeaways to just destroy another team on the schedule? I don't know who it is. Let's say Oklahoma State just can't run the ball. BYU stops and they pump. BYU goes down and score. You don't need takeaways sometimes, but they certainly help.
No question. Yeah, that's going to be over. The third down conversion percentage will go up. I don't know how much, but it'll go up a few
percentage
points.
It's 35.
Yeah, and it will take, like, BYU being 40% or better to get it to 35 over the back six games.
I think the run game with DelJay Martin healthy will help that a lot because on first down you can get 4 yards instead of two or three.
Sometimes. Okay. BYU currently pacing for 22 sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Will the Cougars hit the over or under there?
I think they'll hit the over. I think they've done a nice job of getting after the quarterback. I think they'll continue to do
backup
that.
Backup quarterbacks.
Yes.
On the schedule.
You're exactly right. The next three games are likely to feature backup quarterbacks for BYU against those opponents, Oklahoma State, UCF, and Utah. Okay, so sacks. Obviously, last year was not good. 11. BYU's matched that already, which is great. 15, 20 the last couple of years. 26 in 2020. Different kind of competition. You go back to 2018. In this talk year, that's the most BYU's had. 27. I don't think BYU reaches that level, but I think they do get into the 20s, and we see really good improvement from, obviously, a year that was bad last year.
I believe they're pacing right for that number. I mean, yeah, I'll be optimistic and say they'll get 23. Yeah, they're one better.
You know what helps,
too? Because of the backup quarterbacks.
You know what helps, too, is the fact that BYU gets leads, and they force third and longs, and so they can get after the quarterback.
Aggressive nature of the defense.
Jay Hill dials it up on any down, by the way. First play of the game, he blitzed Isaiah Glasker into the backfield.
Jeremy, they're getting.
And he got a hurry on Noah Fifita. First play.
They're creating havoc and chaos sometimes with just a four-man pass rush.
Which is impressive. And we've called for this for years.
It hasn't happened in a long time.
It helps to have four seniors, some of which are fifth-year guys. Like, it's going to be tough next year to replace that group.
Those guys, John Nelson, Blake Mangelson, Isaiah Banya, Tyler Batty, like, they have
Logan
gotten
Lutui.
After. Yeah, Logan Lutui.
And then you bring in backups that also bring the heat, which is fun. Like, Ephraim Asiata and Bodie Schoonover and all those guys, like, they do a nice job, man.
Yes, they do. Okay, let's get to maybe the last best of all the game in these numbers, Jerem.
Okay, BYU currently pacing to score 34 a game. That's what they have now, right? They're only giving up 16 a game. It's a difference of 18 exactly. Margin of victory is 18 right now. Will BYU be over under that at the end of the year?
That is an incredible number.
Yes, it is.
I'm going to lean under here. And that's not bad. Let's say BYU's average margin of victory at the end of the season is 15 or 16. That's still a good number.
Amazing.
Such a good number.
Did you see those two? Like 15th in FBS in margin? Woo.
Yeah. The games.
It's not just winning. They're winning sizably sometimes.
This is college football. The games get more dramatic and they get more intense.
Yep.
Things are going to matter. You throw in a rivalry game against Utah.
People get hurt.
Some tough road games in Orlando and at Arizona State, which is becoming a very, very tricky game because they're a lot better than we thought they would be. Yeah, there are going to be some closer games. So this number is going to fall a little bit. But if BYU could, you know, hold it to 14 or 16, awesome.
2-0 in one score games, which matters. You get on the high end of that, you're going to have a great year. And significant wins, 29 against Kansas State, 22 against Arizona. Woo! I would have taken 1-point wins. Winning is awesome. If you can win convincingly, that's even better. But
Wyoming game and a Southern Illinois game also factor in.
Right, they factor in. But even in Big 12 play, you're looking at a pretty good number too. So, yeah, BYU, I'm going to take the under. I'm with you. It's going to be hard to maintain 18. That's all.
Whew. Our question of the day, we just discussed a bunch of numbers.
So how many was it?
Maybe you
10?
Answer with one of those, yeah. Or you have your own idea. But what is most likely to be maintained from BYU's 6-0 start? We want sustainable ideas at our Green Ha on X Answers. Maybe I'm saying this because it actually worries me, but the hunger and motivation,
okay.
The drive is the most maintainable. I think this team, these players and coaches have that and can maintain it. If they can, this will be one of the best seasons in BYU history.
We'll likely that's a great point there. We'll likely discuss this tomorrow. What's the driving factor now for BYU? Because not a lot of people are saying they can't do something, except for us on some of these numbers. But, like, what is the edge that they're going to take in here?
I purposely brought up with Jake Retzlaff last postgame following the Arizona win our interview after the Oklahoma State loss in Stillwater and how tough that was for him. And he jokingly said, yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Spencer. But just to kind of get that.
Just to see where you've come from.
Yeah, where, yeah, for sure, to discuss how far you've come. But then to get his take on how much does that drive you knowing that Oklahoma State is up next?
Spoiler alert. That's the number. Driving factor going into this game, dude.
Hashtag BYUS on an X, Facebook, and Instagram.
If you missed episodes of After Further Review or BYU Football with Klein Satake, fun one with Hinkley Rapati as the player guest yesterday, Jake Eichhorn in the new Deep Blue. You can watch them on demand on BYUSN.com and the free BYU TV app.
Still on the way, my one-on-one with BYU linebacker Isaiah Glasker following an incredible performance against Arizona. And wait until you hear how he found out he was the Bednarik National Player of the Week. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
This is college football.
On defense, third downs, and the juice is up, and you can't really hear anything, really.
Pressure, sack, and fumble. Isaiah Glasker punched it out.
He's got the football in his hand.
And why not, Isaiah Glasker? Exclamation point.
We're live at Studio B. This is BYU Sports Nation. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. Yesterday, following BYU's practice on a short week because of the Friday game, I had an opportunity to talk one-on-one with the National Player of the Week from the Bednarik Foundation.
Yeah.
Best linebacker in the game over the last week. He is Isaiah Glasker, and he punctuated BYU's win with his first pick six. We discussed that and also how he found out about the award in general. Let's go one-on-one with Mr. Glasker. Isaiah, first and foremost, congratulations on being the National Player of the Week from the Bednarik Award Foundation. How did you find out that you were that guy this week?
Honestly, I didn't know until my mom actually sent it to me this morning. And she, I don't know, she just congratulated me. But it was super cool.
You got the message from your mom? Is that not the best thing ever?
Yeah, it's really exciting, actually. But, yeah, no, I opened the text this morning, and she just said congratulations and everything. So, I don't know, I thought it was super cool. Never had a reward like that before. So,
well, you had a complete game, to say the least. And I talked to you after the game, but now that you've had time to review the film and go back and watch what you did, what was allowing you to find so much success against Arizona?
Honestly, just the preparation, us being out here and watching film and stuff like that, doing our plays, and then just the play calling by Jay Hill. He put me in a good position to where I was able to make plays like that. So,
short week for you as you turn the page to Oklahoma State. It's a Friday night game. So how has that modified the usual game approach for BYU as a team?
Usually we get like a little, kind of like a day off, like a little break on Monday. But now Monday's a work day, so it's not too much of an adjustment, just like the body, getting used to your body. You know, your body's a little tired just from the game, but I don't know, just kind of get some getting used to. So,
okay, this is probably going to be the toughest question I ask you today. Okay. And this is fresh off a pick six against Arizona, but you've made some big plays this season. So if you had to pick one moment or one play that is your favorite on the season, what would it be and why?
Honestly, I would probably say the Kingston's punt return. I don't know, just like the juice in the stadium, it was pretty high. That's probably like my favorite moment. I don't know why, but I don't know, running down the sideline, seeing Parker score and stuff, I don't know. It just gave me a lot of juice. So,
you mean when you beat him down the sideline?
I guess you could say something like that, yeah.
You can always hold that to a degree over Parker's head. We know he's a fast guy, but it was fun to see you out front there.
You mentioned the juice in the stadium. What does that do for a team? Because you're going to be home again this week and expecting to play in front of a raucous, under the lights crowd.
Honestly, being able to make plays and having that momentum and then just the crowd always being loud. It's especially being on defense, you know, it's loud in there, and the offense always has trouble like getting their plays going. Sometimes they'd be false starting and stuff. So it's a huge plus for our defense, and we love the Rock for sure. So
Oklahoma State hasn't announced their starting quarterback yet. Could be Alan Bowman, who's a little bit taller, not as quick and athletic as Garrett Rangel, the other guy. So what is it like to prepare for either of those quarterbacks or both of those quarterbacks?
Honestly, we know they have a pretty good running back too. So it's just, I don't know, all around we're just prepared for everything at this point. So coming out here and stuff, we're not really looking into one specific thing. We're just getting ready for everything, I would say so.
You probably partially answered my next question because you brought up the running back Ollie Gordon, but what are you seeing on film that has your attention the most with him and the Oklahoma State run game?
Honestly, just being physical. So they're a pretty physical team. Their line's pretty physical. They've been playing together for a long time. So honestly, we just have to, I don't know, smack pads. That's it. So
what's a Jay Hill film session like for the defense?
Jay Hill, I would say he's always the smartest guy in the room. Yeah, you can always count on Jay Hill to know everything. It's like even just watching other games, he can just look at a formation and tell you what play is going to come. And it's like every single time. And so it's having him as a coach is like it's super beneficial. And he can just, I don't know, make you a great player. So,
and taking that a little bit more in detail, what is the linebackers room like right now?
Right now, I would say it's just – I don't know, just we emphasize on like being physical and just doing your job. I don't know, we don't really talk about all the hype that's going on right now. It's just we just focus on doing your assignment and just work each week. We just work to the next game. So
you talked to me about this on Saturday as well, but the national hype and the spotlight there grows even brighter. You're up to number 13. You're seeing BYU and a lot of big time bowl game prognostications. So how are you handling the added hype day by day?
Honestly, we're not looking at the hype at all. Our main goal is just to first get to a Big 12 championship, and then after that, we're looking for the college football playoffs. I know, I feel like that's everyone's dream right now. So I feel like we're not really looking at as much as a bowl game. We're like, we're happy we're bowl eligible now, but we have bigger dreams. So
congratulations again on an outstanding game against Arizona. As we close out, what's your message to BYU fans who are going to have to come out in some chillier weather, but nonetheless, what's your message to them as you prepare for Oklahoma State?
Get ready for a show. That's it. Get ready for a show. So,
do you like cold weather?
It makes the pads louder. You know what I'm saying? They get a little bit stiffer. Yeah.
They do indeed pop a little louder. Isaiah, thanks again.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey, he's saying it out loud. I like that. I like
big dreams.
Those are the dreams. Why not manifest it like Kalani Sitake did? Go watch The Cut, by the way. Make it a reality.
Speak it into truth.
Speak it into reality. Speak it into truth. Friday's going to be fun. We're going to do BYU Sports Nation live from Lavelle Edwards Stadium. We're going to try not to freeze at noon Eastern, of course. And then BYU Sports Nation Game Day and Cougar Pregame Live start at 8 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio, respectively. And then number 13, BYU, taking on Oklahoma State, 10:15 Eastern on ESPN and BYU Radio.
Can't wait. Hey, Isaiah isn't the only BYU personality receiving big national awards. That's still on the way, plus another big match for BYU women's volleyball tonight, and our top five defensive plays of the season, plus a look back at Cougar football history on this date.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social for content throughout the day, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Hey, we're honoring significant things today, 149 years of BYU in its existence, and we are also honoring all season long 100 seasons of BYU football, looking back on some of the best wins, moments, and plays on this date. So, Jerem, what happened on October 16th?
2020 was a terrible year, but October 16th was fun because BYU played Houston, the Cougars number 15. Zach Wilson, the next man, first play of the game to the residents!
Give me that!
Awesome. 78 yards for Dax Milne. Leverage that into a draft pick. Lapina Katoa, 1 yard score, 14-3 Brigham. So far, so good. But wait.
Clayton Toon, yeah.
With Tank Dell, who's doing work, by the way, still in Houston with the Texans. Houston leads 20-14 at halftime.
They had a 26-14 lead, as a matter of fact, until Zach Wilson finds Dak Milne once again, 26-21. Then Chiefs. Shovel pass. The Chiefs special gives BYU a lead. And why not a third touchdown grab for my guy, Dax? Tyler Allgeier punctuates this thing. 14-yard touchdown run. BYU goes away, 43-26 on the road.
29 unanswered. BYU's down 26-14 and near the end of the third. 29 unanswered. That was a big win in that moment.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Awesome. Especially because just the drama early in the game. You have a deficit. You're struggling a little bit. Yeah, that was a fun yep. game to watch. Let's get to today's headlines, shall we?
Number 13, BYU football. 2 days out from Oklahoma State on Friday night. Yesterday after practice, Jake Retzlaff spoke to the media, talked about how last year's double overtime loss to Oklahoma State has motivated this team all offseason.
Game where we know we're going to get all of what they got, and at the same time, this is a game where we remember last late November. We remember that, so we're coming out ready this week because we know we own one.
We own one, okay then. You know it's getting middle of October when you see the golden rays.
Oh yeah, that beautiful golden hour interview.
It's nice. Pre-game coverage Friday night, 8 Eastern, BYU TV and BYU Radio.
BYU football head coach Kalani Sitake named this morning to the Paul Bear Bryant Coach of the Year Award watch list after leading BYU to the oft-discussed on this program 6-0 start and a 13th ranking in the latest AP poll. Coach Sitake, one of 27 coaches currently on that watch list.
If BYU goes 11-1 or 12-0 in the regular season, he very well could win National Coach of the Year.
He's the best dancer of the 27 on the list.
Hundy. Give it a hundy. Three BYU football players received national recognition yesterday. Linebacker Isaiah Glasker was texted by his mom that he was the Chuck Bednarik National Player of the Week. Running back LJ Martin, the Earl Campbell Tyler Rose Player of the Week, honorable mention. 2-touchdown performance against Arizona. How about linebacker Jack Kelly, the midseason defensive player of the year by College Football Network? Not to mention Cam Miller gave him like every award he could. So congratulations to those guys. They're doing work.
No question. Let's continue with handing out the award, shall we? BYU and cross-country runner Casey Klinger named the USTF CCCA Athlete of the Week as well as Big 12 Runner of the Week after winning the Dellinger Invite in Eugene, Oregon for second-ranked BYU. So he won a race that BYU swept.
Casey is married to Morgan Bauer, the oldest of the Bauer daughters. They're expecting their first kid.
Awesome.
Bowers are all girls. It's going to be a boy.
So hey-o!
Danny Bauer got his boy as a grandson. Congratulations. Number 24, women's volleyball looks to bounce back tonight at Iowa State. 9 Eastern on ESPN+. BYU 10-6 overall, 3-3 in the Big 12, and then a big home match with Utah coming up Saturday.
Let's go. BYU women's golf finishing fourth at the Dale McNamara Invitational in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma yesterday. Freshman Najee Aramkul paced the Cougars, shooting 4 over, good for a 6th place finish individually.
And congrats to James Corrigan and Lexi Halliday Lowry, who were named the Curtis Pugsley Track and Field Male and Female Athletes of the Year last night. Fun to be there with the team in the Hinckley Center. It was great.
After the break, college football insider Brett McMurphy joins us. Why does he have BYU slated as a college football playoff team in his projections? And what in the world does he expect on Friday night between his alma mater and BYU? This is BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. Alongside Jerem Jordan, I'm Spencer Linton. It is our pleasure now to welcome in friend of the program and a college football insider and expert. He is Brett McMurphy from the Action Network. Brett, welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. How are you today?
Good. Good to be with you guys. Wow, BYU, pretty nice start for the Cougs, but good to be back with you guys.
Incredible stuff for sure, but we do want to ask you, because we know you are a Tampa native, how things are going. We're thinking about you, definitely thinking about everybody in the city and everyone that has been affected by the hurricane, but how are you personally?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for asking. The part of town I'm in wasn't impacted by any of the flooding, but certainly a lot of people in South Tampa got hit pretty bad, obviously. You guys saw the images of Tropicana Field in St. Pete and then a little bit further down in Sarasota, Fort Myers and stuff. It's pretty tough. Two hurricanes in a few weeks is tough to take. But I appreciate you checking on me.
Yeah, hoping for the best. Let's talk about less important things like football. BYU 6-0, Brett, so far. What's been the most surprising thing, in your opinion, about the Cougars' start?
Well, I was dumb enough to think that they had no shot to win the conference before the before the season. So I want to send out my apologies to Kalani, to Tom Holmo, to Cosmo, to all the Cougar fans and the relatives nationwide. I think the biggest thing is I knew the – and I know you guys probably agree – the Big 12 we thought was going to be crazy. And I literally joked before the season I was going to pull names out of a hat and probably have a better chance to pick the winners as of actually breaking it down. And I think I was right on that. I think the biggest thing for me with BYU is look, I've got them probably higher ranked than most people on my AP ballot. But I'm still not sure how good they are. And that's not to be negative towards BYU. It's just I'm not sure. The SMU game, that win looks better and better every week. The Baylor win, they jumped up early on Baylor and then just held on. So, kind of take that with a grain of salt. The Kansas State win, a couple of non-offensive touchdowns kind of tilted that game. Arizona's, certainly not the Arizona from last year. And I think probably the most surprising thing is you look at the Big 12 offensive numbers and the five worst offenses in the Big 12 conference, BYU is the third worst offense in the Big 12 conference. And of those five, they're the only ones with a winning record in conference play. So it tells me their defense is playing lights out, one of the top defenses in the league. And obviously special teams has been big. But, hey, look, give BYU credit. They're taking advantage of everything. They got Oklahoma State coming in this week. I think Oklahoma State will announce something officially Thursday. Don't be surprised if Alan Bowman is not starting quarterback. Mm. They'll probably go with the freshman there. And then you look at the rest of the way, the toughest games, Kansas is at home. And then basically – the next 3 weeks for BYU, and again, I'm not belittling BYU. You're taking advantage of the situation. You're going to be playing against a backup quarterback against Oklahoma State. You're going to be playing against a backup quarterback at UCF, and you're going to be playing against a backup quarterback at Utah.
Fair.
And that's great. Keep piling up those wins because you know what? You need them, and if you go into the Big 12 title game at 11-1 and lose that game, and you're 11-2, I think, whether it's BYU or somebody else in the Big 12, I think a two-loss Big 12 runner-up can get into the playoff. I don't think a three-loss runner-up can get into the playoff. So, hey, keep stacking up these wins and have Cosmo parachute into the playoffs.
Follow him at Brett_McMurphy on X. He is our college football insider today. And, Brett, when you look at BYU, fans understandably get very excited when they see – BYU show up in your projection for the college football playoff. Now, is BYU's resume strong enough to have a legitimate at-large opportunity, or do you feel like BYU has to win the Big 12 title game to feel comfortable about getting in?
It depends on how many losses they have. I think it's that simple. I don't think, again, if you're saying BYU does not win the Big 12 title, what would it take for them to get in a large bid? I really think 11-2 BYU would get in to the playoff. Now, the big comparisons, BYU would be compared against probably a lot of three-loss teams from the SEC or from the Big Ten. And again, we don't know what the committee is going to do. Are they going to reward teams from the Big Ten and the SEC for losing to better teams than BYU beat? That's the unknown. But again, since they've been doing the selection committee the last 10, 11 years, the one thing, everyone talks about all these different metrics they use and all this minutia of, I'll call it garbage because it's garbage. The only thing they've considered, if you look at it, is the loss column. And last year's the first time, obviously Florida State, but they lost their quarterback, where a team with the fewest losses did not get in the playoff. So are we suddenly going to have this big change now because we go from four teams to 12 teams, are they going to fall back on the fewest number of losses is the team that gets in? Now, I'm not comparing BYU to like a Liberty who isn't going to play anybody or any group of fives, but I really think, you know, a two-loss Big 12 runner-up, whether it's BYU or somebody else, will get in because you look at the Big Ten, you look at the SEC, they're going to beat each other up. You know, after week one, we had, you know, we had 14 teams in the from the SEC in the 12-team playoff, and now they start playing each other, and okay, well, Ole Miss doesn't look as likely. Missouri's falling off the cliff. You know, LSU's coming off a big win. Heck, I think they'll lose at Arkansas. Alabama's, you know, stumbling. So, you know, what are they going to do with those guys? I don't think they're automatically going to put them in. Certainly none of those teams get in with four losses. Three losses, then you're in a real dangerous category when being compared to a Big 12 runner-up with two losses. And then you look at the ACC, you know, obviously for BYU and the Big 12, you need Miami, Clemson, and SMU. You don't need all three of those to keep winning. You need, you know, two of those and to knock the third kind of down the pecking order. But hey, SMU wins the ACC. Guess what? BYU has an incredible strength of schedule win. So I guess you do want to root for SMU, but maybe hope Miami and Clemson shuffle down. But I guess to, you know, answer your question, I think two or fewer losses for a Big 12 runner-up, including BYU, will get them a spot in the playoff.
That would be awesome. Like 1984, BYU needs some a little bit of luck. Keep winning. See what happens. If it shakes out, great. I want to follow up on something you said about Oklahoma State. So are you saying you expect Garrett Rangel to be the guy or the freshman Zane Flores or somebody else?
Well, either Rangel or Flores.
Okay.
Gundy said as much in his press conference earlier this week that they have to make a decision by Thursday. Flores has had some injury issues this season. I don't think he's actually even played this year, but if he's healthy, he could come in there. Rangel has more experience. He's played in some games this year. He started, I think he started last year, maybe at versus Kansas or Kansas State. But going into the season, I thought they were really high on Flores. But then he had some injury stuff. You know, I think it caught him by surprise that Bowman returned, to be quite, you know, very honest. And it's weird. You know, I'm an Oklahoma State alum. I'm shocked but not shocked at our struggles, because usually when we go into a season with high expectations, we usually don't meet those expectations. But to kind of be where they're at right now, you know, this is a huge game for OSU, because Gundy has either the sixth or seventh longest streak in the history of college football, most consecutive winning seasons by a coach at the same school. I think Lavelle Edwards is in that top five, I believe.
Yeah.
So Gundy's, you know, got this incredible streak going on, consecutive winning seasons. We're not talking 6-6. We're talking actual winning seasons. So can Oklahoma State get the seven wins? The big issue, you know, I was talking about BYU, you know, offense not doing so hot. Well, this could cure your running game, because Oklahoma State has lost their two best players on defense to injuries. They have not been able to stop anybody on the ground. Utah ran against them. They couldn't stop West Virginia. I know it's cliche. One of two things: a very desperate Oklahoma State team, or an Oklahoma State team that's thrown in the towel. I think we'll know early on which one it is.
Brett McMurphy of the Action Network is on BYU Sports Nation. Let's stay with the Cowboys and that Friday night showdown against BYU. And you were talking about BYU's run game. I'm still trying to figure out how Oklahoma State doesn't have just an unbelievable run effort with Ollie Gordon and so much experience back on the offensive line. What do you make of that, Brett?
I was hoping you guys would tell me. I mean, I figured, you know, look, after all the how well Ollie did last year, all the buildup, I mean, it's human nature. It's obvious. You can't live up to that. That's why we don't have any repeat Heisman winners. You can't live up to the expectations of last year. However, the drop-off has just been, you know, remarkable. I can't explain it. Certainly Gundy can. If Gundy knew what was going on, he would change it. The entire offensive line was back. Oklahoma State had 19 or 20 starters returning. Yeah, it is. That's one of the great mysteries this year in college football is what has happened to Oklahoma State's offense, specifically the run game. Because you look at the league standings, and the only team worse than Oklahoma State's in rushing offense is Colorado, and Colorado doesn't try to run. So technically, Oklahoma State has the worst rushing attack in the Big 12, I guess.
Brett, it's always great to catch up with you. We certainly appreciate the time you spend with us on BYU Sports Nation, and we are so glad that you're doing well in Tampa after a really scary, unfortunate situation. So hope to talk to you again soon and that our paths cross soon. Be well, and let's do it again.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Brett McMurphy of the Action Network, college football insider on BYU Sports Nation, thinks BYU, with an 11-2 record, if they lost that championship game, would have a resume to get in the college football playoff.
I like that because there's a lot that could happen, right? Could be a one big league, two bid. I don't see three. But right now, hey, BYU's in position. Let's go. Check out the latest Deep Blue podcast featuring Brandon Dominator, the Dominator, Brandon Doman, as he discusses the 2000 season, how he tried to save Lavelle Edwards' final year, the special 2001 year, and his coaching career. You can find it wherever you get your podcast.
All right, wrap your minds around this. It's a top five Tuesday, but on Wednesday, we're throwing in an audible. As you look at the five best defensive plays of BYU season thus far, this is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Because we can, we're rolling out a Top 5 Tuesday on a Wednesday.
Why not?
That's how it works out this week. The Top 5 defensive plays of the season from BYU football. Start us off, Jerem.
Isaiah Glasker's pick 6 against Arizona is number 5. It's 4th and 10. The ball's at the 1. Isaiah Glasker, former wide receiver / safety in high school, picking this ball up, taking it to the house. He told me Monday he thought about jumping up into the stands, a Lavelle leap, if you will. Luckily, he did not. That'd be a penalty. But it was a nice cherry on top to end that game.
Nobody would have faulted him had he done it. Game was in hand.
Lonnie and Jay might have.
Number 4, Mark Collins. This is maybe my favorite catch of the year, and he's a defender. This helped BYU preserve a remarkable win at SMU. Low scoring 18-15. I love that he just holds the ball up right after he catches it.
The celly.
To keep SMU out of the end zone, BYU holds on by 3.
Number 3, Crew Wakely seals the win against Baylor with the INT. He read it all the way, picks this ball off. BYU holds on 34-28 in Waco against Baylor. Crew's had a nice year. Started 5th on the depth chart, by the way.
He told me he'd been begging to throw in that coverage all game. And he said, when we did it, I thought I was going to get it. And I did.
Yes, he did.
Number 2, Jack Kelly, Cam Miller's favorite player, forces the fumble against Kansas State. DJ Giddens coughs it up. Tommy Prassas celebrating all the way to the end zone.
Oh, Tommy Prassas just picking it up. I love that there were like 5 BYU players right there. Isaiah Glasker has been on so many moments like that. He finally got one himself. Which is
something
right
about that. He's always around those plays.
Yes, he is. Number one, top play of the year, Jacob Robinson's tipped interception against Arizona to start the third quarter on Saturday. What a great play. He blitzes, he reads it, gets his hand up, kind of jumps again, catches it, and Ofefita makes a nice play. Otherwise, that's a pick 6. The second pick of the year for Jacob Robinson.
Some BYU fans were jokingly giving Jacob a hard time about getting tackled by the quarterback. Like, there's not much else he can do.
Noah's athletic, too. He's not one of those slow guys.
All right, our elite voice of the day answering our question of the day. What is most likely to be maintained or sustained from BYU's 6-0 start? Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated comes from Hook'em Cougs, okay, who says the defense. The proof is in the pudding, and they have been the most consistent side of the ball.
Absolutely. They've been awesome.
That's a sustainable element.
Your defense can travel, like in basketball, rebounding and effort and hustle. It's like sometimes you don't shoot well.
Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Isaiah Glasker finally getting in the end zone after helping all his buddies into the end zone all year, it feels
yeah,
like.
Yeah, National Player of the Week.
Pretty awesome.
Outstanding. Our thanks to today's guest, the man we just said, Isaiah Glasker, and Brett McMurphy of the Action Network.
Sorry to Dennis Pittet, we ran out of time.
For Jeremiah and Spencer, shout out to Louis Lapuaho. We'll see you tomorrow back here in Studio B. Go Kooks!
Remember that gif of Louis?